Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. Our journey through Holy Week now reaches its climactic end as we celebrate our risen Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I invite you to click on the link in the description below to check in with us this morning. If you're watching on Facebook this morning, the check-in link is in the comments. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you're still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or by electronic submission at peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Now let's begin our service with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious.
For his mercy endures forever.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
whose mercy has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Without having seen him, we love him, and we believe in him,
receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, who through your Son overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection may arise from the death of our sin through the renewal of your Holy Spirit, and may hear and obey your living word of truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Alleluia. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson comes to us from 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Easter was a time of uncertainty, like the time we're living in is a time of uncertainty. From Good Friday, Silent Saturday, to going to the tomb on Sunday morning, what comes after this? The tomb is empty. We have seen angels who said he is risen, but this seems like nonsense. It doesn't make sense because we don't have the historical viewpoint like we do today. These people were living through it. So you and I don't have a historical viewpoint on living what we're going through today with the coronavirus. But people reading 10, 20, 50 years from now will have a historical perspective on how we lived in this time of uncertainty. Well, as we look at the empty tomb this morning, a place of remembering, the appearance of the angels to the women at the tomb is found in verses 1 through 11. The appearance of Jesus to the disciples on the road to Emmaus is found in verses 13 through 35. And the appearance of Jesus to his disciples, the 11 in the room, is found in verses 36 through 53. So let me kind of give you this first overview of Easter. The appearance of the angels at the tomb to the women, the appearance to Jesus, of Jesus to the Emmaus disciples, and he's just as a glimpse, and then a much fuller appearance of Jesus to the 11 disciples as he shows them his hands, his feet, and he also eats in front of them. Jesus says that a ghost does not have flesh and bones, and he shows it as he eats in front of them. So when we see this, Jesus tells the apostles about the words of the prophets and also his words as a double testimony that this first Easter narrative is true. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So Luke shares the Easter gospel with this threefold narrative: the women at the tomb, the Emmaus disciples, and the 11 disciples in Jerusalem. So Luke and John give us other details that Matthew and Mark do not. Reading the Easter story in a sequence, as Luke gives us a deeper revelation of what Easter is and a much fuller and richer remembering of the Word of God. So let me share the outline of the women at the tomb. The appearance of the angels to the women at the tomb, that's found in verses 1 through 11. So there's no resurrection appearance of Jesus at the tomb, that's found in verses 2 and 3. And angels appear at the tomb, verse 4. We can also see is that in verses 6 and 7, the angels instruct the women to remember the words of Jesus. The women remember what Jesus had said in verse 8, and the women become witnesses to the disciples in verses 9 through 10. So Luke's account does not make that Jesus does not make an appearance at the tomb. The disciples are wondering, where did Jesus go at the end of this narrative? Luke's account gives us a lot of anxiety and wonderment in the first Easter, just as we are going through this time of wonderment and anxiety in our time as well. Even while the women are told that they have seen angels, yet they do not comprehend what the first Easter is. Perhaps that's like you and me. If we do not know a person who has coronavirus, or we have not lost a loved one in this tragedy, Easter is something that is just out there, and we are not experiencing it. But the women are experiencing the first Easter with anxiety and wonderment. So how many times have we learned from a loved one that has just died? I remember is that we had one of our members at Grace Lutheran. This lady went down and took a nap in the afternoon. And 2 hours later, her husband went to wake her up and she was dead. Now that was quite a shock to the family. And I remember coming over to the family, two daughters with their husbands and grandchildren, and there the woman lay still on the couch. That was a time of great anxiety. That was a time of wonderment. Why? How did this happen? She just laid down to take a nap. And now we're talking about her burial. So remembering is what the women were told to do. Well, if you recognize how many times have when we lost a loved one, is that what, don't we talk about the stories of this loved one? Don't we talk about remember this, remember that? It's a time of remembering and how this person intersected with our lives and how our lives have been enriched by having her as part of our lives. So the instruction that the angels gave to the women that day is, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while you were still with him in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. So the angels are reminded, the angels remind the women of what Jesus said. So it should be no surprise to us that remembering can bring us away from the present back to the past. Now, we've had relationships where we have lost loved ones just as well, and that's the kind of a time that we go to the past and tell the stories, and we have this way of remembering how our lives have been impacted. It says in verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were the first witnesses of Easter. But it was very difficult for the disciples to believe it because they were amazed at the story of what the women said, and they were also amazed that the tomb was empty. Well, the appearance of Jesus to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Jesus is among them, but they do not recognize Jesus. The Emmaus disciples recognize the resurrected Jesus for a moment. And on the road to Emmaus, the Emmaus disciples are instructed to remember the words of the prophets. And the Emmaus disciples remember. And the Emmaus disciples witness to the disciples. So there's also a second kind of remembering that doesn't take you to the past. But the second kind of remembering helps you to understand the present much fuller. You are more aware of how this person's life impacted your own, your family, and your circle of friends. You are reminded of the stories why this person was so important and how his or her life influenced yours. So let me give you an example. When I held our first grandchild, our granddaughter, for the first time, that was a time of remembering. It reminded me of holding our children for the first time. And it kind of reminded me as the circle of life is that our children are now giving birth to their children. In this circle of life, my wife was able to hold our first grandchild well before I was because that was right towards Christmas, and they lived in Michigan. So she took off to be with Mom and Dad and our new granddaughter. And if you can kind of remember when you hold a child for the first time and you cradle their neck, and it takes a little while to get comfortable, but as a grandmother, you know, that's something you haven't done in a long time, and now you're holding a newborn, but you get used to it because you've already been there and done that. You remember how it all works. Well, Easter was that time of remembering. Remembering the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, who came into the flesh to save sinners like you and me. So the appearance of Jesus to the Emmaus disciples, it says in verse 25 through 27, Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them and said in all the scriptures concerning himself. There are times when you and I are reminded of the story of Jesus when we read the Bible, when we have another person maybe share their Jesus story. And there's other times when maybe we're watching a movie or reading a book that we say, hey, this is how my narrative, my remembering of Jesus fits into this movie or this book. So they were encouraged by their foolishness that they did not remember, but Jesus opened the scriptures up to them. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They were on fire for Jesus. Hopefully you and I are on fire as well, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen as he appeared to Simon," and has appeared to Simon. And the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread with them. Well, hopefully one thing that we are reminded of as we are living today in the coronavirus area, we are reminded of our mortality. The coronavirus should remind us, too, that we are witnesses of our mortality and the mortality of others. We are witnesses is that Jesus Christ is alive. We are witnesses in this time of uncertainty that there is hope in the Easter story, because it's not a fable, it is real. The coronavirus should also remind us is that the church is not a building. It is the people of God who have been transformed, who have been changed to share the good and great news of Jesus. And our mission may look a little different right now, but it's true. It is the same mission we've had before the coronavirus, is to go and share hope in many times of uncertainty in people's lives. And truly, we are all living in an uncertain time, but we have a certain Savior. His name is Jesus. Well, the appearance of Jesus to the disciples in the room. Jesus appears to the disciples. Jesus proves he is alive to his disciples by showing him his hands and his feet. Jesus also eats in front of the disciples. And Jesus' disciples are invited to remember Jesus' words and the words of the prophets. And Jesus' disciples remember Jesus' words and the words of the prophets. And Jesus now tells them, "You are my witnesses." He is not a ghost. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. Jesus is the first fruit of the living from the dead. Easter is about life that never ends. Easter is about what Jesus has done on our behalf. Easter is a time of wonderment and great joy. It's about unbelief in the midst of proof of a risen Savior. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus invites us to remember him on Easter. The empty tomb is a place of remembering. Remembering is much fuller today because of this uncertain time, and Easter is more real. Remembering can be more fully present as we greet people with need today. There's like a pall over our entire world. It's a time of uncertainty. It's a time of a lot of death. It's a time when we are counting how many people have died from the coronavirus. Mortality is in our face each and every day. We are staying in our home, staying in place, so that we will live another day. But we also have to remember to be that witness. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things," as Jesus said. So I encourage you, after listening to this message today, is to share the message of Jesus with loved ones. Perhaps you are the only one in your home, but it's a time to reach out to another family member. But if you have family members in your home, it is a time to share joy and hope and peace. You see, we have hope. We are people of hope. We have a living Savior who is alive. But our culture shakes its head and says religion is old-fashioned. Our culture acts like a Christian has entered the realm of imagination and fairy tale land. Our culture says the story of Jesus rising from the dead, that we are out of touch with reality. But Easter allows us to have a much fuller understanding of the present as we relate to the world that we live in today. Hopefully, we are understanding how important life is, how important relationships are, how important it is to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The empty tomb is a place of remembering. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let us confess our faith in our risen Lord from the words of Holy Scripture, the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
At this time, we receive our offering. Thank you for your generous support for our congregation, Peace Lutheran. We are blessed by the membership of our church. thank you for being in worship with us this morning just as well. And you can make your offering through the mail, or you can do it electronically, whichever is much more convenient for you. And remember that we are all witnesses to Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia.
O Lord Jesus Christ, on this day you conquered death and sin by rising to life. As you are alive forevermore, help us never to forget your risen, life-giving presence with us. Strengthen us always to remember your presence, especially in times of perplexity, sorrow, and loneliness. O light of the world, shine brightly in our hearts this day to confirm that nothing can separate us from your love. As you live in us, empower us to meet life with courage and death without fear. For you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, and with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, and one called to another and said,
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting,
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We pray. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on us, children of men, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that he may establish in us a living faith and prepare us joyfully to remember our Redeemer and receive him who comes to us in his body and blood.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace. Amen.
The true body of Jesus Christ, given for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And take and drink the true blood of Jesus Christ poured out for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And now, may the God of peace and all glory surround you with his peace, his comfort and his hope and his healing through the power of his body and blood. Amen. We close our worship service now as we hear the words of benediction. These are the words of blessing as we go out into this week. Little different than a normal service where we're going out, but God sends us into the communities where we are, in our families, in our neighborhoods, the online communities that we're a part of. So may you go with the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory and praise and might and majesty forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen.